SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater with you, and our pleasure to bring in the man on the sports blog over the Washington Post. He is Dan Steinberg with us here to talk a little 24/7. How you doing, Dan?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, and I'm just honored to be in the presence of the guy who broke the DJ Pauly D scoop with the Capitals. I thought that was so cool. I loved reading about that stuff.
I don't know if I actually broke it. I was certainly okay. The first person who had little enough shame to ask them about it, I think. But right. John Carlson, who was kind of the man behind bringing it to the Caps, seemed to be happy to talk about it.
So. He seemed very open about it. That's a good thing. Well, I know you've written a lot about it, and now your chance to talk about it. 24/7, I kind of felt like Wednesday when it was over that a little bit of something would be missing the next several weeks of my life, because that was about as brilliant as HBO can do it, and they do it better than everybody else.
Absolutely. It felt too short to me, honestly. I did not see as much as I wanted to see. And, you know, they've got hours and hours of footage. Yep. And my understanding is that there's going to be opportunity, whether it's through the NHL or through HBO, for us to see some of that additional footage somewhere down the road, which, you know, like you guys, I think I would take as much as I can get.
Oh, God.
There's
yes.
so much. You know, they went to so many players' houses for the Caps, and we saw tiny, tiny bits and pieces of that, but not very much at all. And even the game stuff, you know, if you compress 60 minutes of a game into 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, there's so much great stuff they've got that we haven't seen yet. So, but yeah, it was tremendous. I guess that's what you want to do in TV, is leave people wanting more.
Well, there you go. And the other thing I thought that was interesting is, you know, reading your stuff at the Winter Classic, you thought that all the Caps fans that came to the game and just how loud the stadium was and stuff was kind of like a sea change for DC sports, because I guess we're used to having the other team's fans come to us, and yet it was us that was invading, I guess, Pittsburgh. And I remember you reading that. Now, going forward, though, what do you think that means for this city? Does it mean, like, that we can see a lot more of that with other teams if they get good like the Capitals do?
Well, it's a little bit of a unique situation because the Caps actually had, you know, possession of 20,000 tickets for this game, which I think Ted Leonsis insisted on. And so, you know, there were more than 20,000 fans there, I think, but not a huge number more. So there were some people who came on their own. But, you know, like, when the Steelers fans invade FedEx Field, they're not doing it with the benefit of 20,000 tickets reserved for them. You know, they're
right.
kind of going out and taking them away from Redskins fans. So it requires, like, a big level of commitment from people, like, financial and passion-wise, to pull something like that off without getting a gift of tickets. But I think even regardless, the fact that you can get more people to show up for a game in Pittsburgh involving the Caps than you could have 5 years ago for a game in Washington involving the Caps, I think it's a sea change for that franchise. I don't know that it means anything long-term for Washington sports fans. The problem is, you know, FedEx Field is so big, it just really
right.
opens the door to that happening, and it's just too big.
Well, but, yeah, and the fact that you're playing on January 1st, which is, you know, they're going to have a holiday the next day, so it's like a bowl game. And, you know, this is the smart thing the NHL have done. They've gone after the bowl games, knowing, you know what, these bowl games on January 1st don't mean what they used to mean, so we're going to go on this day and put an outdoor, you know, unique, made-for-TV experience, and people want to be a part of that. It's, you know, the tailgating and stuff that goes on at that game certainly don't happen in a regular Capitals game. It won't happen, you know, when they play their next home game.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great. I think it's great on TV, too. And
I was awesome
a little bit surprised and disappointed to see that the Fiesta Bowl that night did better than the Winter Classic, because, let's be honest, I understand football rules this country, but Connecticut and Oklahoma did
it's
not
a terrible
play.
Game.
It's a terrible game.
It's a terrible
game.
And, you know, the Penguins-Capitals game, you know, it was like, messy, and the ice was screwed up, but I think that it lived up to what you would want that game to be. I just don't know what sports fan would rather watch a blowout of Oklahoma over Connecticut.
I mean, I don't get it either, but that obviously brings up a new question, which I think some people have thought about, is if you're the NHL and you see how well this game did in prime time, it was, I guess, the most-watched game in 36 years, do you move it to primetime, you know, permanently? Or was it really good because of the nature of the rivalry, the Ovechkin-Crosby thing, and HBO 24/7?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I think that game would have been the highest-rated game in 35 years if they had played it at noon or 1 or whatever the original time was. I mean, I think it got enough hype, and the HBO thing helped enough, and Crosby and Ovechkin helped enough. And, it was up over the past couple of years, but I don't think that it was up hugely. I don't remember exactly what the percentage was. But, you know, it's done pretty well in recent years, too. So I think that game would have done fine in the ratings regardless. It's cool under the lights, though. I mean, I don't know what the downside to it is, really. It looks really... It's just, like, aesthetically pleasing under the nights. I mean, it's worse for print writers on deadline, I guess.
It'd also be better if it wasn't so rainy. And, you know, that's not going to happen again. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, maybe if they bring it to D.C. and we have one of those.
They need a snow machine like they have the ski resorts, you know? That's what they need to do.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to, I don't know when how you're going to control the, but, you know, like, for as many nightmare scenarios as there were, including, you know, someone getting injured or them having to push it to Sunday or whatever, it all worked out pretty good. I don't know that I've heard from a single fan who was so inconvenienced by the time change that they didn't go or that they hated it or whatever, so... You know, when I was driving up there on Friday, we were envisioning all sort of potential nightmare scenarios, and none of them really happened.
We're here with Dan Steinberg, D.C., Washington Post, with the Sports Bog with us here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio, Scott Jackson and Mike Prada. Well, as you look at this the show, too, I mean, you know, a lot of people talked about Bruce Boudreau's language. I mean, I understand the Sopranos editors were very offended. but I mean... To me, that's exactly why you watch a show like this, to see the raw, you know, the raw emotion of sports. I mean, this the real stuff, not the sanitated, you know, boring stuff we get in the post-game press conferences.
I totally agree with you with that. The only part with Boudreau that some people were kind of convincing with is that sometimes it seemed like there were more profanities in his speeches than actual tactical advice. And, you know, we're not seeing the whole thing, so it's hard to judge. But I think that especially from the first episode, there was this impression left that, you know, Dan Bylsma in the other room was kind of zeroing in on tactical changes and tactical advice while Boudreau was just kind of ranting. And, you know, again, it's just impossible to know what else they would have been saying.
He was losing, though, but
yeah,
Bylsma was winning, so right. It's easier to be the calm guy when you're winning. You know?
And also, absolutely. And Bylsma was very upset after the Winter Classic.
Yes, he was.
Very upset.
But it was, yeah, I mean, I think that they gave off a very different vibe, especially earlier on in the series, and I think that would be... You know, I don't know that any of us who are in professional sports for a living are particularly surprised that people swear. Even Gary Williams on Comcast Sportsnet this week was saying that he's fluent in two languages, English and gym. it's like a good point. You know, it's just like a different world once you enter in that sphere.
I wasn't surprised by Boudreau either, and you weren't. But was there anything that you saw that did surprise you that you did not expect to see on the show?
That's a good question.
I'm surprised Mike Green rides a Vespa.
Yeah, that was like...
I did not expect that.
No, I didn't. Or that Alex Ovechkin's parents are living at home with him a lot of the time.
Oh, I knew that. I mean, I've seen them around. I know that, you know, he says that they cook for him and do his laundry and all that.
Especially
his mom.
I don't know
that anything was surprising. I mean, it was just nice to see, I think, how passionate they are, even at times when they don't have to be. You know what I mean? When they're not putting on an act for us, and I guess you could say that they could theoretically be putting on an act for HBO, but just the stuff that they say on the ice to each other that we never get to hear. You know, the moment was really cool with Dubinsky and Ovechkin after the fight, where they said good job to each other, and you know, it's kind of part of this code that they're not trying to punch each other in the face out of like sheer hatred always, but that it's kind of part of this code of what you do in hockey.
Yeah, that was I thought that was really cool, too.
Dan Steinberg with us here from the Washington Post, the Sports Bog with us here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Dan, Mike and I have been talking about this. Moving forward, HBO, first of all, is so good at this. We want to see more of these. Other sports, too. I know we know they do a great job with Hard Knocks, but kind of bummed out that the NBA would not jump into this pool for some reason, and then they don't want it to happen.
Bummed out, but not surprised. You know, if you think about where those leagues are at, hockey's biggest concern is getting exposure to new people, and it seems like David Stern's biggest concern is making sure that the league maintains some kind of a, you know, popular, friendly image. And so it's not surprising to me that they would be, you know, running a million miles an hour in the opposite direction.
But the NFL, though, I mean, they, you know, here's the NFL.
The NFL has, like, a huge market share. They could do anything. It wouldn't stop
anything,
people from watching football.
I actually think I think NBA would be smart to do it with the right team. I actually think it could help them because you kind of humanize some of these guys that
with
people
the Spurs,
just think.
You mean?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, even, you know what? Even the Lakers, as weird as that would be.
I don't know about the Lakers.
I think it would be good. I think it would be good.
Love it. We would all obviously love it. You know, I think that there's a lot of people who are already chatting about the fact that the NHL might sort of make it mandatory for teams in the future. If you want to play in the Winter Classic, you have to open your doors because the NHL was thrilled with how both the Penguins and the Capitals handled it, that they really went above and beyond. I think especially the Caps were just, you know, George McPhee forcing guys to talk and forcing guys to get mic'd up when they even were reluctant to do it. And I think they were also happy with the finished product that this is definitely going to happen again with that league.
That's great. No, it's smart. I mean, they got to do it. I think so. I mean, to me, baseball would be, I don't know. I mean, HBO can make anything good. I guess it would be all right. I mean, they make me watch boxing shows and I don't even care about the fights, so.
Yeah, you're kind of first thought is that with baseball, it'd just be hard to make it as dramatic or as exciting.
There's too many games, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's not like what are you going to, like, focus in on the 45 seconds between pitches and the guys that talking about, like, what their wives are doing with their off-season?
Yeah.
Here's a good one I heard somewhere. What about Army-Navy?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, college sports is definitely a huge untapped frontier for HBO. You know, it's something... this was part of that Gary Williams interview, was, you know, kind of joking about what it would be like if he had cameras on him 24 hours. But, I mean, to see be inside a big-time college basketball program would be cool.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, hey, Dan, appreciate it. I always enjoy reading your stuff, and thanks for getting some time here on SB Nation Radio.
Okay, cool, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Dan Steinberg, Sports Bog, with us here on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, Patrick Stevens. We'll talk some Terps with Patrick, the big hire and the big game against Duke this week on the hardwood. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater here on 106.7 The Fan.